healing is part of the path, but it's not the path.
Right.
Heal and move on from that. Yeah. Awaken, celebrate, make sure that you don't get stuck in thinking you're always trying to fix something. Like, healing is important, but also celebrate life.
Yeah.
Move forward.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. Hey, this is part two of a two-part series, if you will, about psychedelic therapy. I was not planning on doing that part one. If you've not heard it, I strongly recommend listening to the episode right before this one, before continuing, because it will pre-frame a lot of what you're about to hear. We are talking about psychedelics and psychedelic therapy and how I have found benefit from it and its very carefully applied use. And there's the backstory on where I kind of stumbled kind of into this is what part one is. So go to part one, check that out if you'd like. Strongly encourage it before going on to part two here. But what part two is, and we're going to click over here to that. Part two is the audio of a YouTube video that Marley Jackson and I made together, kind of talking about our journey in the psychedelic area. And this will probably be the only time I really talk about it on my own show. But a lot of what I've been doing in season two is describing a lot of the garbage that goes on mentally that you might have to work through in order to get to the next level. Season two for me is all about getting to the 100 million in sales. We're on our way. It's working. But and I'll continue to share epiphanies and cool stuff as I go, but I certainly have focused a heavy amount of the show on season two in just the internal journey, the parallel journey, right? And so that's why I'm bringing this up. Again, if you're like, nope, this isn't for me, then move on. That's totally fine. No harm, no foul. I completely get it. I completely get it. And I also get that this might be a little bit of a weird or touchy subject or something that is, we all use the word triggering too much now, but in the true sense of that term might be a little triggering for someone hearing it. Or, someone might look at me a little bit different now because I'm talking about this. I get it, but I'm also owning who I am. So with that, let's go into the audio from the video that Marley and I did together talking about our psychedelic journey and therapy. And guys, if you'd like to interview me, if you want to, I used to do a ton. I think I've been on 300 or 400 just other podcasts. It's like 100 summits. I can't remember how many stages. It's a lot, but I would love to. And it's something that we're doing again and offering again. And would I love to be on it. If you're interested in that, go to stevejlarson.com. You can click on interview up at the top. It'll scroll you down, or just scroll down and there's a form there. Just fill that out. It just tells us a little bit about your company. The only reason is so that I kind of know what to prepare. I do usually think through a little bit what I'm going to say prior to getting on. And then what we do is our system will respond to you with a calendar time. Enough times that work for me, so you can just choose one of them and we'll do it. I do interviews for about 20 to maybe 30 minutes. So they're usually not very long. But anyway, just offering that again. All right, with that, let's click over to the audio here. And this is Marley Jackson and I talking about our journey with the psychedelic area.
We have changed our lives so much by tapping into psychedelic therapy. We use it in a therapeutic setting. The set and setting is so important.
We're not telling people to go out and just start doing this in their basement. All right?
We're also not telling anyone to do it.
We're not even telling them to go do it.
We're just going to share our experience.
Share experiences with it. Like, honestly, a lot of people have asked, like, Steve, why are you so calm now?
Lots has changed.
A lot of people have asked that. And it's because I've just done a lot of self-work and healing, and that's involved tons of therapy. Tons. A lot of coaches and coaching, but then also a wing of it. A wing. Not that we're saying that something like ayahuasca is the answer, but a tool in the toolkit has been psychedelic therapy.
This is also part of how we came together as a couple, is we both had individual experiences that were traumatic and painful. We both went through divorces around the same time. Mm-hmm. And actually, you referred me to the EMDR therapist that I saw here in Boise. EMDR is a great type of therapy. And if you have never done any kind of therapy, I definitely recommend starting with that. And psychedelics isn't something that you should just jump into. And a good psychedelic healer, facilitator, shaman, whichever kind of person that you see would likely turn you away if you didn't have a way to integrate what you're working on in any kind of psychedelic therapy.
So what happened was I was going to therapy, which I strongly believe in, PTSD from all kinds of stuff. Anyone can have PTSD, but I certainly had a lot of venues in life. I'm not here to dive into all that stuff for our personal issues for sure, but there was
another video.
Yeah, another video. But basically I went to EMDR therapy, every week, just about every week for about a year. And EMDR is where they kind of buzz you, and it's alternating buzzing that quite literally by the science rebuilds neurons in your head around traumatic experiences. And so you have memory of the experience, but the charge is gone. And the reason why we do this is because it's the equivalent of imagine you have a bunch of Chrome tabs open in your computer.
Great description.
You know? And even if you're not in those Chrome tabs, you still have RAM on your computer that is being taken up to maintain them. This is like closing all the tabs. I just feel so much peace. It's ridiculous. So I started doing EMDR therapy to try to fix a lot of stuff that I had gone through. And it took us a whole year just to get through a certain portion of my life. And I'm not here to say things in my childhood are terrible. I have amazing parents, incredible family. We both have amazing families. That's not the point. You just living, you get trauma. I was working on it. And after about a year in, the guy, he's amazing. He's incredible. He's here local, obviously. And he kind of started trying to fire me. Like, you're done. You're good.
I graduated.
You graduated. Yeah. You've been graduated. And internally, I was like, I know I am not graduated. There is so much more going on in there. Oh my gosh, I got to go fix myself. What is going on? Like, why do I feel these ways? And I knew I didn't have that internal peace, you know? And things would pop up in my life, and I was reactionary versus responsive. Right. And that's one of the ways I kind of knew there was more in there and that I had to work through. One thing to be careful of, and I'll just note here at the beginning, is it is possible to get addicted to trying to heal. You know what I mean? Where you heal too, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to go do this again. And you're like, you do get to a healthy spot after.
Healing is part of the path, but it's not the path.
Right.
Heal and move on from that. Yeah. Awaken, celebrate, make sure that you don't get stuck in thinking you're always trying to fix something. Like, healing is important, but also celebrate life.
Yeah.
Move forward.
So I started running the end of the rope of the EMDR route. Read a fantastic book about from the guy who invented EMDR therapy called The Body Keeps the Score. Such a good book. That book was life-changing for me and teaches the science behind trauma and why it works and how it works and why it sticks with you and how to get around and fix it and, you know, so you don't loop on it. And as I started running the end of the rope of the EMDR place, I had some influencers and mentors tell me, Stephen, you should go look at psychedelic therapy. And I was like,
wait, wasn't
no.
that the first one?
No, actually, no.
Oh.
I mean, you went and did it first,
yeah.
But I had someone tell me,
I didn't know this.
You need to go do this type of therapy. And I was like, I love my brain. I have no interest in drugs. I'm not going to go do that stuff. How is getting high going to go help me work on my crap? I was the biggest disbeliever in this. I was wildly and ferociously almost like, absolutely not. There's no way I would ever consider doing something like that. And he was like, all right, just maybe learn some research. And I was like, in a spot where I was desperate for any answer and feeling very alone. And so I started looking into it. And that's about when you and I started talking about it. And yeah, do you want to pick up from there?
Yeah.
We got into something else after that. So buckle up.
I was coming off of my divorce, which was messy and threatening and messy, awful.
Another video.
Another video.
On that one coming. Maybe not. Probably not.
And I was also coming out of my first relationship after my divorce, where I saw this as almost redemption. This man was so different than my ex-husband. And I had just high hopes and expectations for this relationship. And when it didn't work out, I was just devastated. And I didn't realize this at the time. I learned this from the therapy that I then pursued after that. This man was really emotionally unavailable. And I was really internalizing his emotional unavailability as a reflection of my self-worth. Mm. To me, though, I just felt I'm unlovable. Something is wrong with me. I'm not worthy. And I looped on that every single day. I went to our mutual therapist 3 times a week, crying over the same things, and I couldn't get out of it. And I lived with a friend who just so generously took me in for like 6 months. She had no expiration date on just how long she gave me a safe space to live at her home and heal in her home. It was the most difficult, but also one of the best summers of my life because of just the space that I had to discover myself again. But I was in this loop of what's wrong with me? Why am I not lovable? Why am I not worthy? What do I have to do to prove myself? And a friend of mine, friend of ours, confided in him, sharing just how miserable I was. Like, I was near suicidal. I would dread going to bed every day because I didn't want to wake up and have to live another day feeling like this. And he said, hey, why don't you come fly out here? I have a friend who's a nurse, and she facilitates MDMA therapy. And it's like 5 years of therapy in a day.
It's amazing.
I've never done anything like this before. I'm from Canada, and Canada marijuana is legal, but like I didn't even do that. Like, I've never done drugs before in my life. And I was terrified, but I was also desperate and just, I couldn't live like that anymore. I was at a breaking point, and I was just desperate for something to change.
MDMA, just so you know, is like street name ecstasy. This is the medical grade of it, though.
But yeah, chemically, what it does
medical grade, yeah.
is it like dumps your serotonin and reduces your amygdala. So it's all love and just this purest ecstasy of love, and reduces the fear and the ego. So you can see everything from such a different perspective. In this therapy that I got the next available appointment because I just wanted a release. I needed change. I needed help desperately. And it was like 5 years of therapy in a day. It was almost like I saw a timeline of my life. And it's different for everyone. Steven's experience, which he'll tell you about, was so different than mine. And it's not predictable. It's not like, okay, I'll just do this again and it'll be just like last time. Every experience is different. I felt like I got to see a timeline of my life and the experiences and the patterns that made me who I was today. And I was.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
I was also able to see what in me attracted the relationships where I was fighting for my self-worth or to gain approval from someone, and then why that created the pattern of the next relationships that were eventually trying to teach me this lesson. And I don't know if I would have gotten that lesson that quickly without this kind of therapy. And I remember coming back to Boise and I saw you shortly after, you said that you noticed the difference in me immediately.
Immediately. We understand this is a tender topic, all right? But from a therapeutic sense, these are very powerful tools that have helped move Marley and I through a lot of individual junk. A lot of us have a hard time letting go of the past, and it's why these work so well. Psychedelics are a disassociative, meaning they let you objectively look at the crap that's happened so you can learn how to re-relate with it so that when you come back to, it's not this thing that's just like stuck in your programming where you constantly are spinning on it. And so when you came back from MDMA therapy, we both only had done this once, all right? And this was 2 years ago. When we came back from it, when Marley came back from it, it's almost like the internal barometer I could just tell on her, the pressure internally was just gone. Mm-hmm. Gone, or at least wildly lessened. And yeah, so I wanted to go do it myself. And 2 weeks later, I did. I mean, I got it as soon as I could after that. I was so scared. I had never, you know what I mean? Like, I love my head. I researched the heck out of this thing. You think about it, it drops all the serotonin in one shot, which is you feel just love and peace.
Bliss.
But then destroys, you know, turns off your fear center. And so for like, it lasts about 6 hours. And so they blindfold you, or that's what they do with us.
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
They give you, because when you can shut off some of your senses, you can go deeper
super
internal.
Deep.
For me, I'm a very verbal processor. So after some time, I took off my blindfold and I actually just talked to the nurse.
I kept the blindfold on, earmuffs, you know, and so they try to, so that way you go internal. What happens with trauma is your brain basically will build a barrier so you don't remember the thing as much. That way it doesn't hold the Chrome tab open, if you will. And so when you are in the state, your brain starts to go, what's behind that door again? You know, let's lift the manhole we built to make sure that we are okay. You know, your brain's doing this. And so you get to open it up and let open Pandora's box in a totally loving, safe environment and work through your garbage, atone it, resolve it. And then when you come back, it's like, I don't know, you function so much easier. The same things that happen, it's easier to respond versus react. Hmm. Yeah.
And since then, we explored other psychedelic therapies that have completely changed our lives, and it's an incredible tool. Again, we don't use it recreationally. We want to use it with a lot of care and consideration behind it. Like, I really respect this tool, and it's a very spiritual experience.
It was extremely spiritual. In fact, it was the first question that I had when I felt it hit. I was like, God, are you here? And I just felt immediately like, yep, you're cool, fist bump. You know what I mean? Like, it's all right. You're working through your stuff. You're not here to... I went into that MDMA experience needing to change my fuel source. I knew that I built most of my company out of pain. The previous 4 years, I had used the company as my escape from life. And a lot of entrepreneurs do that. I mean, you're watching this, you probably can relate, or at least there's something you use to escape from what's happening in life. And so for me, the company was that. And I went and I built this business because I'm in so much pain, so much stuff, and I didn't know how to get it out. It was pending all the time. So I used it as a fuel. Rage and anger internally, even if not like raw expressed, is still an internal fuel to build stuff. Some of the artists and singers that we all know of, say Taylor Swift, gets a new boyfriend, it goes terrible, she makes another album, right? That's kind of, and there's so many artists that do that, and they use pain and chips on the shoulder as their fuel source for creation. And I knew that and had become cognizant over it because I'd done so much EMDR therapy. I was like, crap, I gotta change what drives me to create, because it's an exhausting fuel type. And it's one that takes a toll on your body and mind over time that is very expensive. And to build out of that. And so I went and with the intention to try to change fuel source. And so I, in that session, asked, like, what's my fuel? How can I change? I just need to know how to get from pain to purpose. What's my purpose? And I was told exactly what my purpose is. It worked. It took me about 6 months to really install it, because rage and anger are good addictive things to build from. So I had to learn how to let go of it. But it still taught me what to shift. So I learned how to create from much more like a loving, exciting, how can we bless everyone fuel, rather than, you know, escaping, which is not a great way to build an empire.
Always giving from an overflowing cup.
Right.
And that's also something that you said is really important to know, like having space to integrate, having other resources to help with integration. Like, you're not supposed to do psychedelics frequently. I mean, I'm trying to think of like the closest we might have done together. Like, we did an ayahuasca ceremony 2 months ago, and we're going to do another one
in 2 weeks,
in a couple of weeks. So
that's the closest probably ever.
The
this
closest.
Isn't like a, we're not walking around every weekend. Just, you know what I mean? Like, there's this perception that Hollywood gives with it too, that is so not correct. So anyway, we came back from that. We both were blown away at it. And I don't believe it takes the place of traditional styles of therapy. And I don't think it takes the place of other forms of work. You know, MDMA, ayahuasca, those are not the answer. They really are the thing that show you what to work on next rather than you're healed.
Yeah, I
you
can
know
see
what I mean?
if we don't have the right attitude or mindset about it, psychedelics could be easily used for like bypassing, like you think you're doing the work by having these
experiences,
but it's the work outside of the ceremony. Like life is the ceremony.
There we go.
That you have to keep working on what you're being shown to work on next. And again, just to repeat what I said earlier, is to not get stuck in feeling like you always need to heal or fix. It's heal, awaken, celebrate.
And like the same breath, it's letting go of stuff truly, while also helping you see what questions you should be asking. It's not the answer. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my big fears too. I was like, well, this can't just be like, oh, you go take this pill and everything's happy and you're good. And everything's, it's not like that.
And it's amazing that we've now formed like a community of people who are using these kinds of medicines to heal as well.
Yeah.
And being able to have like group integrations and see what other people are working on. It's like being able to observe what other people are healing in. It's almost like third party healing or third, what do you call that?
Ventriloquist healing.
Secondhand healing too.
Secondhand healing.
All these words that we're coming up with to see what they're working on that maybe I don't have an emotional attachment to, but helps give me insight into how I can have compassion for other people going through that too. It's been really incredibly eye-opening to build a community here and even share some of our experiences with friends who are going through difficult things and just don't have the right resources or want to learn about some of these resources available. Because if I didn't go for that first MDMA session, if I hadn't been introduced to other things like psilocybin, ayahuasca, I don't know. I just think it like rocket launched my healing. And there are things that I held on to for so long and things that I also didn't know that I was holding on to, like the emotional baggage that just seems normal for us. But then once you finally put it down and know what that feels like, you don't want to go back.
You're like, why was I holding that? Yeah. I didn't know I was holding that.
But it serves you to a point, right? Like you, mm-hmm. you saying that the business that you grew and that you built it from a place of pain, it served you to a point.
For sure.
But now you get to a point where you get to change your fuel source and create from a place of passion and purpose and service. It's so eye-opening. And of course, there's so many other resources to be able to find. And this is one that we've enjoyed and has worked for us. And I don't know if we're always going to do it. We kind of just...
Tool in the toolkit.
Yeah. See if we're called
to it
or
not.
When you need
that. It has been very powerful for me to learn meditation prior to doing any of these things. My first real experience wasn't with any psychedelic. It was just actually in vision. In meditation. Getting deeply into meditation and learning how to work through your own stuff, these are really powerful tools and skill sets when used together help move things through. So we came back from that MDMA and then started getting more into that, a little more psilocybin stuff. And then after that, ayahuasca opportunity came up. Big fan of Tucker Max.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tucker Max, you're a beast if you ever watch this. We read your stuff. He's got this great article talking all about this stuff, about the lotus flower. And if you're getting into this stuff, that the ground is very much MDMA. It is also shown, it's actually in phase 3 clinical trials right now by the FDA. MDMA is for removing PTSD and trauma. It's one of the fastest things that does it for anyone. This isn't like some far-fetched thing. This is very researched, heavily researched by a lot of people and firms and companies. Tim Ferriss.
Huge advocate.
He's
invested over a million.
Millions.
I don't know. I mean, how many millions, but
yeah.
And yeah, the stories of veterans with decades of PTSD from the war in one session are sleeping at night, healed insomnia, gotten rid of anxiety. It is an incredibly life-changing tool. And of course, there's so many other medications that are available to people, but this is
medicine, like real stuff. And it's not, again, like this thing that you take and it's like, oh, everything's better. It is work. It is work, and
right.
You have to do a lot of integration with it. But ayahuasca was like kind of like that. I always saw it as also due to Tucker's, article, as kind of a Super Bowl Mount Everest experience in this realm area. Did ayahuasca for the first time about 6 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
something like that, 2 months ago. And it was so impactful. And
I've been trying to get him to come along with me.
Yeah, I was really nervous. It's just,
if you're not called to
not
it,
called
like
to it,
you
don't
have
do
to
it.
Go when it feels right for you just because your friends are doing it. Like I did it. We did it. My 10th time was your 3rd time. So I'd done it a few times before
yeah.
and just when you felt ready.
Yeah. And so it's all about that. It's zero peer pressure at all. Don't do it if you're feeling that way, actually. And actually, I wouldn't even start with these. I would go learn how to meditate. I'd go get into EMDR therapy. Yes. I'd learn the body, you know, body keeps the score.
Great book. Just Gabor Mate is also a really great reference.
Yep. Dr. Gabor
when
Mate.
The body says no.
Mm-hmm. Very, very big advocate on these as well, those things. Mm-hmm. So this is larger than I think most people realize. More research, thought through. There's a ton of money behind figuring out how it actually helps people heal and why. I'm not huge into talk therapy. Did that a little bit, but this has been one of the more progressive, faster ways to just move things through, because no one wants to just hang with all these Chrome tabs open. You know, back to that analogy. Ayahuasca was deeply spiritual. Deeply spiritual. I guess it's the topic of this video. We haven't really talked about Aya yet. But is it deeply spiritual? There's a diet that you do before you go. We do is 3 nights in a row.
Doesn't matter. Different for everyone.
Different for everyone. There's places to go on. There's research like crazy, you know, before you go try anything like this. But it's been a huge healing thing for us. So, yeah. We've been a little bit nervous about this topic. But y'all have been asking why we're all both so calm now. It's part of it.
Thanks for watching.
You've obviously heard me say how important publishing content is in this internet game. And if you can't tell, I like making content. If you'd like to interview me on your show, summit, podcast, live stream, you name it, you'll find it all on stevejlarson.com. It's about halfway down the page. Also, if you've taken the plunge into live events, I love speaking on stages as well, by the way, go to stevejlarson.com, scroll about midway down the page where it says interview Steve, and let me know what I could talk about that your audience would get the most from. Go to stevejlarson.com and let's chat.